This is your KVNF Regional Newscast for Tuesday, September 1st. I'm Audra McCabe. Many people in the KVNF listening area are avid river recreationists and know the Mountain West rivers and boating areas well. Yesterday morning, tragedy struck at a site many of these recreationists likely know, the Phantom Ranch area of the Grand Canyon. Intense flash flooding swept through the area, which is nestled at the bottom of the Grand Canyon. It's on the north side of the Colorado River, tucked in beside Bright Angel Creek, and can only be reached by mule, on foot, or by rafting the Colorado River. The site has several cabins, providing the only lodging below the canyon rim. As of Tuesday morning, 62 individuals have been evacuated from Phantom Ranch and the surrounding area. Search and recovery efforts are still underway. As of this morning, only one individual remains officially listed as missing or unaccounted for. However, the Park Service is uncertain how many unpermitted hikers may have been in the area, which could change that count. The flooding also caused extensive damage to inner canyon infrastructure, including the Trans Canyon waterline, which supplies water from the canyon to the park. The waterline is currently not operational, leaving the park with limited water reserves. As a result, Stage 4 water restrictions were implemented on the South Rim yesterday. Preliminary data on Colorado school districts were released yesterday. Performance frameworks are part of the state's accountability system and combine measures of student academic growth, academic achievement, and post-secondary and workforce readiness, such as graduation, dropout, and college matriculation rates. The ratings released yesterday are preliminary and will be finalized in the coming months. Both Ouray and Hinsdale counties were rated as accredited with distinction, the highest rating achieved by only 7% of districts. Delta was rated as accredited, the second highest rating, which was awarded to roughly half the districts in the state. Montrose was one step below, rated as accredited with improvement plan. School districts have until October 15th to provide additional data through the request to reconsider process, which may result in a rating change before frameworks are presented to the State Board of Education later this fall. KVNF will bring you more information on our local school districts once the final data is released. The Colorado Secretary of State announced yesterday that a conservative-backed redistricting proposal will appear on November's ballot. The measure would create a new commission to redraw the boundaries of the state's congressional districts. The Colorado Sun reports that it was submitted by Advance Colorado, a conservative political nonprofit that doesn't disclose its donors. Under the rule, redistricting would require approval by the new commission and would have to be adopted by the Colorado Supreme Court. It also aims to prevent any gerrymandering and would bar any plan from being adopted that would divide communities of interest or favor one political party. Because Colorado's redistricting process is laid out in the state constitution, only a constitutional amendment can change it. A change in the state constitution can only happen with voter approval. Prolonged drought in the Colorado River Basin has forced farmers and ranchers to make tough decisions this year. Rocky Mountain Community Radio's Caroline Yanez has more on how that's impacted mental health in agriculture.
Colorado State University's AgriBility program provides vouchers for free therapy to people who work in agriculture in Colorado. Chad Resnicek, the program's director, says they've seen a significant increase in the number of counseling hours provided under the program over the last year. He says the full financial impact of this year on farmers will become clearer later this fall, which will likely bring even more stress.
Whatever we can do come early winter and into those colder months to look at how can we promote social connection. Once things maybe do start to slow down a little bit, how can we help them better strategize for the next year?
He says some farmers are already out of water. Others are dealing with the high cost of hay, and others are already using pastures for grazing that they normally wouldn't use until winter. Caroline Yanez, Rocky Mountain Community Radio.
Last week, we reported that Montrose's city clerk hand-counted 83 ballots rather than run them through the county's machines, and hadn't said why. This week, the city answered, and KVNF's Brody Wilson has the story.
Montrose runs its city elections through Montrose County. The city has no ballot counting machines of its own, so ballots are counted on equipment the county provides at the county's elections office. But on election night in April, the last 83 ballots never went through those machines. The city clerk and three election judges counted those by hand at City Hall. The county asked for the ballots more than once, and the city said no and certified the election. Nobody has claimed that the outcome changed, and in the closest race, the hand-counted ballots widened the winner's lead to just 31 votes. In August, a columnist for the online Montrose Mirror called that a breach of contract and a compromised election. He's David White, a former Montrose mayor and county commissioner. But the city clerk had already answered for the situation a week before White's column at a city council work session.
May I address that, Mr. Mayor? The reason why those last remaining ballots were not taken to the county was because there were questions about the county elections office, certain staff members are being impartial. And I knew there was a very tight race, 26? And to ensure the integrity of the election that I was designated election officer over, I decided to count those myself. So I stand behind what I did 100%.
That was the entire and the only public explanation for 4 weeks. 3 weeks after she said it, the mayor called a special meeting to get legal advice about investigating the election, and it fell apart immediately. Mayor Badiaco moved to put the city manager out of the room, and the city attorney told council something they weren't expecting.
I am appointed by council. Yes, that is correct. I report to council. Yes, that is correct. My client is not city council. My client is the city of Montrose as a whole.
City Manager Bill Bell said removing him wasn't allowable and would violate his due process rights and his employees. Then he asked the mayor to say out loud what he was proposing.
You're saying you want to remove me as city manager and discuss this with my subordinates and without me present?
I think that
if a majority of the council wants me to do that, I think that's a really bad decision for you to do that, but you can go ahead and do it.
The mayor said he wanted an independent look at the election and that the city attorney's own memo had incorrect information in it. Councilor J. David Reed pressed him on that.
No. Are you saying that there are untruths in the city attorney's memo to city council?
There is incorrect information in there.
Council voted 3-2 to take the rest behind closed doors over objections that the reason that the meeting was noticed were substantially different than the mayor's actual intent.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
No.
All opposed?
No.
No.
Noted.
Then, on Monday, the city posted a page of answers about the election, and in it is the information that many in the community were wondering. Why would City Clerk Lisa Del Piccolo call into question the impartiality of the county clerk's elections office? The answer is that on election night, the city says observers, including two candidates, were in the room while ballots were being scanned at the county, and the city clerk wasn't notified. The other eight candidates, it says, quote, were not given the same opportunity to be present. So, she moved the final count to City Hall to what the city calls an environment that was under her control. The city also says that hand counting that last batch is normal. Those ballots are held back on election night so that late ballots can be added, and so a batch of one or two can't reveal how someone voted. What the city doesn't address is what the county kept asking about. Those ballots were never run through the county's machines at all. The statement the city released on Monday says, quote, all five members of the Montrose City Council agree. They say they're confident in the results and that the clerk ran the elections with, quote, rigorous neutrality. They also want changes, among them a room where every candidate is invited on election night. The city hasn't said who the two candidates were. County Clerk Tressa Gines has never publicly answered the suggestion that her staff weren't impartial, and KBNF's message to her hasn't been returned as of our press deadline. For KBNF News and Rocky Mountain Community Radio, I'm Brody Wilson.
In case you missed it, KBNF drew the winning ticket in our summer raffle yesterday at 10 a.m. Congratulations to Pam Allison on her 2026 Toyota Tacoma. Pam has been a part of the KBNF community since moving to the North Fork in 2000. A special thank you to our raffle sponsors, Bighorn Toyota and Big B's Delicious Orchards, who couldn't join us for the live drawing but helped make this fundraiser possible. That's your KBNF Regional Newscast for Tuesday, September 1st. I'm Audra McCabe.